We are going to turn now to God's word. Our reading this morning is from John chapter 7. John 7, and we're going to read verses 1 to 36. After this, Jesus went about in Galilee. He would not go about in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of booths was at hand, so his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come." Is here. I cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify about it that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I am not going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. After saying this, he remained in Galilee. But after his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he also went up, not publicly, but in private. The Jews were looking for him at the feast and saying, "Where is he?" And there was much muttering about him among the people. While some said, "He is a good man," others said, "No, he is leading the people astray." Yet, for fear of the Jews, no one spoke openly of him. About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, "How is it that this man has learning when he has never studied?" So Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" The crowd answered, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" Jesus answered them, "I did one work, and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it's from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If, on the Sabbath, a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a whole man's body well? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." Some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, "Is this not the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him? Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? But we know where this man comes from. And when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from." So Jesus proclaimed as he taught in the temple, "You know me and know where I come from, but I've not come of my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me." So they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. Yet many of the people believed in him. They said, "When the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done?" The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him, and the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. Jesus then said, "I will be with you a little longer, and then I am going to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we will not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying, you will seek me and you will not find me? And where I am, you cannot come. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's turn and pray together. Sovereign Lord, we ask this morning that you would speak your life-giving words in what we have not, would you give us? What we know not, would you teach us? What we are not, would you make us? In the mighty name of Jesus, for his glory, we ask. Amen. Friends, as we begin to go back to John's Gospel, let me just say a brief word about anti-Semitism. We've all wept at the horrific recent event in Israel and in Palestine. A huge number of deaths in response, children, women, men. To be clear, God condemns for our fellow human beings. The reason I say that this morning, often held up as anti-Jewish. This is like we just had in Jesus were seeking to kill Jesus. But to understand those anti-Semitic is to completely miss what is going on. Two things to say about this. Presents Jesus in most Jewish terms, position. Christ. He is the Jewish king centuries ago in the scripture. Secondly, his people. The Jews are included, that John uses. A world that rejected Jesus so much, so that whoever would have eternal life. Please do come and speak. Let me ask you today, people don't follow. What is it that stops them from coming to him, from finding lasting life and peace? A thirst that is quenched. What that stops people? Maybe that's a very real question for you. You've been hearing more and back from going all in, from trusting him. Question at the heart. Effectively through a bill this year, and we found people 66. This. And we're left to ask people to walk away from Jesus. If what he offered, why don't people follow him? Incredible gift, one that every many who heard him, the miracles that he did, makes the slaver free in his agenda. I wonder who controls you and the constant thing we see agenda. We've moved on a few. Verse 5, not even brothers, provide a publicity. They come and they help him out. Guy. World. The feast of around this time of year, it's a lavish, joyful festival. Four massive as a symbol of this people by fire. The water that the priests go to the pool temple and they pour it out in front of the altar. Praising God who gives his thirsty people water in the desert. He of John's Gospel. He follows. Jesus says, verse 6, come. Dear one, to your life, try and run and hide, keep low, out of sight, away. But that is not, time has not, says it twice. You see, there is a time. To be king of John's Gospel, told here is the Lamb takes away the sin of the world. He's going to, but it is on him. Later on, and Jesus will say, no one takes my life from me. Jesus, he hasn't come to do exactly what, no one, he sets his own time. Friends, he is not some genie that we make from. We try and make image to like we like or to do for us. In a popularity. He has come to do far more profound, far. He came to rescue his people, to give his life, to give them life. And he says, you know what, it's not a surprise that my popularity has nosedived. It is not because he's doing something wrong, or because he said some things that he wished he hadn't said. He went a bit too far on that statement. No, the reason people don't and won't believe him, in fact, the reason why the world hates him, is there in verse 7. It hates me because I testify about it, that its works are. An Anglican member of the Church of England recently saying to me that we needed to focus being poured out across the world, to which we, his love, we are confident that great plans, things as live and work, is God's love. And Jesus said, in order to know who I really am, in order to know what I came to do, in order to know the sort of rescue that I bring, you've got to know the state that you are in. He sets the agenda. Jesus hasn't come to tell you everything is okay. Don't worry. Keep calm and carry on. He came to ring alarm bells. Jesus came from heaven to earth. He became a man. That is what we celebrate at Christmas. The eternal God, who alone is worthy of all of your praise, your adoration, your thanks, everything that you have and everything that you are. He suffered the humiliation of having people turn their backs on him and walk away. Jesus Christ, the high King of the ages, died one of the most cruel deaths humanity has ever come up with because we needed him to. We cups of God's love until we knew the depth of our problem. The world hates me because I testify that its works. Jesus sets the agenda. Secondly, verses 14 to 24, his authority, their ignorance. Having shown that Jesus is the one who sets the agenda, he does go up to the feast. Verse 10, he doesn't do it publicly with a lot of pomp and show. Here, don't worry, it's okay. He goes up in private. And he is the talk of the town. Whispers abound. Where is he? What do you think about him? Speculation about him is rampant. Everyone's asking questions. And in this electric atmosphere, verse 14, in the middle of the feast, Jesus goes into the temple and begins to teach. Verses 14 to 18, we get a question of his authority. How is it that this man has learning when he's never studied? He's not been at the right rabbinical tutor. He's not gone to the right university, he's not got the right letters after his name, he's not got the proper stamp showing that he's a bona fide, genuine person. How on earth can he speak with authority? That's a fair question, isn't it? It's always amusing when, sometimes a bit tragic, when celebrities are asked their opinion on things they know nothing about. We saw it time and again during Corona, didn't we? Pop stars and film stars being asked on whether lockdown was the right thing to do. Whether we should. What on earth do they know? They know no more than you or I. Listen to you, Jesus. Listen to me because of where I come from. Because I've come from God, who sent me. Jesus is never a glory hunter. He speaks a son relationship. He always points away from himself and onto his Father. He loves his Father. He seeks his glory. Verse 17 is a circular argument. If anyone wants to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. It goes like this. I am speaking on God's authority. Those who do God's will know that I'm speaking of God's authority because God's will is to listen to me. And as he goes on to show in verses 19 to 24, they choose not to do God's will. And so they have no hope of acknowledging Jesus' authority. It's a worked example of their ignorance. He says, you've got the law. Yet, verse 19, you're trying to kill me. You say you keep the law, but you are breaking the sixth commandment, murder. Their reason for trying to kill him goes all the way back to chapter 5 when Jesus heals a paralyzed man on the Sabbath. They claimed he was breaking the Sabbath because he was giving life. Jesus' defense was that the Father keeps giving life on the Sabbath. You keep breathing every day of the week. And so therefore, so does the Son. And so he turns the tables on them. Verse 23, he says, you say you shouldn't do any work on the Sabbath, and yet you still circumcise people. He says that is a good and a right thing to do. It doesn't break the law. But if that is permitted, why on earth can't he bring about God's life-giving work on the Sabbath and heal a person? So he concludes verse 24, don't judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. He says, you are ignorant about who I am. You don't know my authority. You don't know where I come from, because there is something wrong with the way that you think. There's something wrong with your judgment. It is a problem that runs all the way down through their being. Their desires are skewed. Their will is upside down. Before we moved into our apartment, the electrics in our flat were all redone. And it's a lovely place. We're really grateful for it. But I wouldn't get our electrician. Switches do the wrong things. The heating in our kids' bedrooms controls each thermostat controls the other room. So it's wonderful. If you want to turn the heating on in Via's room, you've got to turn it on in the boys' room. If you want to turn it on in the boys' room, you've got to turn it on in Via's room. And the way it's set up just means that the whole system doesn't work. It thinks it's too hot, and so it turns it off, but it's turned off in the wrong room. And it's reading the temperature in the wrong room. It didn't work properly. In fact, the way it was wired made sure the system led to completely the wrong solution. The wrong conclusion. It needed rewiring. And Jesus says, the reason the world hates me is because there is a rewiring problem. There is a heart problem. What needs to happen is a miracle, a change of will. Now, later on, Jesus is going to show, as he gives sight to a man who was born blind, that is the sort of change that you and I need in order to see him properly. If you're a Christian here this morning, what is it that made you believe in Jesus? Well, it wasn't your learning or your reading. Although some of you are incredibly intelligent. It's not because you are more insightful than others. It is because God changed your will. That he helps you to see Jesus came from him and speaks words of life. If you're here this morning and you want to trust Jesus, but you don't, something is holding you back and you don't know what it is, ask him to change your heart. Pray, help me to want what you want. If you are there, help me to hear your voice. If you're wondering why your loved one or your friend or your colleague doesn't trust Jesus, maybe you spend too much time pleading with them and not enough time pleading with your Heavenly Father. Human reasoning will never lead us to the right conclusion. It takes an act of sovereign grace for someone to see who Jesus really is. We speak boldly and we pray boldly. His agenda, their hatred, his authority, their ignorance. Finally, and more briefly, 25 to 20, 36, his identity and their exclusion. So the debate rumbles on. Who is this man? Is he the Christ? Can it be that the authorities really know that he is the King of the ages? They ask. But then verse 27, common sense prevails, as it always does, doesn't it? We know where he comes from. He can't be the king. He's just an ordinary guy. Verse 28, Jesus proclaims. It is a deep emotional cry, one that is full of irony. You know me? You know where I come from? Their ignorance rears its head once again. They don't know that he was born in Bethlehem. They don't know that his birth was foretold and announced by angels. They don't know that he is the Son, sent from heaven by the Father. And if you don't know the Son, you don't know the Father. If you don't know God, you won't know his Son. And as they try to arrest him, verse 30 and 32, they try and lay hands on him, they try to arrest him again and again. Jesus has chilling words for them. Verse 28, end of verse 28. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. End of verse 34. You will seek me and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. They are very comfortable in their ignorance. But Jesus isn't just another man you can reject without consequence. They try to arrest him, but they can't. They eventually kill him, but only when he permits him. Because Jesus sets the agenda. Because he is the one sent by God with the authority of God, sent to give life. And he is rejected at their peril. But that rejection isn't the only response to him. Did you see verse 31? Many of the people believed in him. They said, when the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man? More miracles than what Jesus does? If you're questioning this morning, examine the evidence. Reflect on it. Let God teach you. And on the basis of all the evidence, we've got to find there is no other explanation than that Jesus is the Christ, sent from God, with the authority of God, and that he sets the agenda. It is his way, his timing. And so as we close, let me leave you with a question. Are you happy to let Jesus set your agenda? Will you let him show you where you are like the world? Will you bring those things before him in repentance? Will you let him change and transform you? Change from glory into glory, more and more like him, as he shines his light into you. Will you let him set the agenda as we interact with those around us? As we live in this great city, Jesus saves on his terms. We can't shy away from talking about what he says. We have a deep problem and a merciful Savior. He testifies that the works of this world are evil, so that they would see, so that we would see, so that those around you would see. We need Jesus more than anything else. Will you let him set the agenda for your life, knowing that it will cost you? Because if the world hates Jesus, it will hate those who follow him. Will you let him set the agenda for your life? And wonder of wonders, will you rejoice that you have life in his name, because he says so? Let's pray. Father, and not ours, not the one that we want him to be. And we ask this morning that you would help us to let him set the agenda, and that we would follow him and rejoice in him. In Jesus' name, amen.